You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Well, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. How many mothers out there? Your mama? All right, give them a hand. Yay! All right, how many grandmamas? Grandmamas? Yay, give them a hand. Grandmamas. Great grandmas, great grandmas, any greats? Yes, some greats, yay! Any great greats? Great greats? Great greats, huh? No? All right, they don't get up this early. Well, welcome, welcome. We have a special gift for all of you ladies, whether you're a mother or not. If you are 18 or above, we have, every year we've done, you know, something a little bit different, except for the last 3 years, I think it was last three, because we hit on something that everybody liked. Like, sometimes we get flowers, and then one time, one of our pastors was in charge of it, I forget who, I won't say who, but anyway, got the flowers early and put them all in the freezer. And on Mother's Day, they didn't look so good, so we didn't do that anymore, but last, I think, 3 years, we came upon, I think it was Tim's idea or something, cake pops. Cake pops. Say cake pops.
Cake pops.
Cake pops. All right, so that's for you, Mama. It's your day. Any lady, mom or not, 18 and over. Say 18 and over.
18 and
we'll be checking IDs. All right, back there. Now, mamas, this is not for your children. Now, if you want to, last night, several of our ladies came up and said, well, I've got to give the little belly mine. I'm like, you don't got to do anything. But it's up to you. But you only get one. If you have nine kids, sorry, you have to divide that cake pop into nine little. All right? So you can do what you want. But mom, listen. Every day is kids' day, right? This is your day. So eat the cake pop right in front of them and then just throw the stick down. Say, in your face. All right. Now, so it's great. But let me mention this, a more serious note. I realize that for some of you, ladies especially, Mother's Day is not joyful, it's hard. Because you want to have a child so bad, and maybe you've tried and can't, or you know, things have gone bad. And it's hard for you to come in here on a day that something is celebrated that you want so bad. Or you've lost a child. So our hearts go out to you, our prayers for you. And realize that we see you, we love you, and we don't know what God's doing, but God is God, amen. But praise God that you're here, because I've had ladies tell me before, it's real hard for me to come on Mother's Day. So props to you for being here, amen? Yeah. Also, before we start, we have a new mantra. All right, we're I don't know if we're big around here about sound bites, but you know, like love, grow, serve, stuff like that. We have a new one, all right? A new one, and so you need to learn it and live it. Bible's open, buzzers off, and babies overseen. Bible's open, buzzers off, and babies overseen. John, why? What's that all about? Well, it's kind of self-explanatory, I hope. But I was on vacation for the last 2 weeks, although staycation, you know, doing stuff that Mama wanted. And so we were hiding out at the house. And so, you know, you got to come to church. At least you're supposed to on vacation. I don't know if you knew that, but you ought to. And I didn't want to go to any other church, so we came here. And Pastor Johnny's preaching, and I'm sitting over there, not in my usual seat, but close. And I could not believe how many distractions there were. So the door's opening for one thing. I mean, you got to have doors open and closed. We're going to be taking care of that in the near future, trying to figure out how to do curtains, you know, after the service starts so that you have to kind of walk around. Because every time those open, it's like, light, right? And I'm ADHD, I think, and so I'm just like, and then several of y'all's cell phones went off. And I'm two-thirds deaf. So if I heard it, I know y'all heard it. And then several babies decided they wanted to be the preacher. So I went back and I'm like, no, we need to try to fix this, because we're here to worship God through His, and didn't the ladies' music do a great job in worship, amen? And Debbie mentioned her mama, she's right there. Miss Debbie, give her a hand. She was beaming with pride. And so you worship through the music, and then you worship through the word. And there's a lot of us ADH types in here. We get distracted by squirrels or anything. So we want to, you know, be able to, I mean, this is where you come to hear the word of God, and God is trying to change you. And he says over and over, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But sometimes, you know, we're distracted. And so if we can fix some of the distractions, we will. All right, in a humorous, hopefully humorous, and loving and kind, but firm way. So here's what we're going to do. Bible's open. So today it's Philippians 4:1. So turn there in your Bibles, Philippians 4:1. You're like, oh my goodness, I don't have a Bible. Well, we've taken care of that for you. No distraction for you. We have free Bibles in front of you. All right? Should be a blue Bible. If it's there, grab it quick before your neighbor does. And then that's our gift to you. Put your name in it, bring it back every week. So it's on page 1085 where we're going to be. Just three verses that we're looking at today, Philippians 1. So that's Bibles open. Say Bibles open.
Bibles open.
All right, then buzzers off.
Buzzers off.
Please silence your electronic devices. All right, I got that new iPhone. Ooh. And there's this little thing that you put it on silent mode. All right? Whatever button your thing has, push the button. Okay? Please silence your electronic devices. And then babies overseen. Babies overseen. Not only silence your electronic devices, but silence your energetic devices. All right? We have, and in order to help with that, and I realize if you're new here, I get it. All right? You don't know these people, and all, I get that. When we had baby Johnny, my son who preached the last 2 weeks, he's like 43, but when we had him, we were in this church years ago, and my wife did not trust the pastor's wife who was in charge of the nursery at the time to take baby Johnny for like 3 or 4 weeks. Kind of offended the pastor's wife, I think, but we finally like, okay. Now, by the third child, we just running by the nursery. We chucked the child in, you know. So, but your first one, I get that. I get that new place. All right, I get that. And so if you know, can I keep my child in? Yes, you can. If it's your preference and you're new, if you've been around a while, come on. You know these people. You can trust them. Their background check, et cetera. But for the sake of others, you know, if your little one is becoming a cute distraction, please whisk them out. We got a foyer out there with TV and tables, all right? Or even better, we got a family room set up just for you. It's out here. Matter of fact, the ushers have these things right here. Ushers, wave them, all right? See them waving these things. And so, you know, your kid starts crying. You're like, well, you know, when should I take my child out? If it says, meh, maybe not. All right, meh, maybe not. But it's like, whisk the child. Go to an usher, get one of these, and you can go around here, and we've got a special place for your TV and toys, I think, for your kid to run around and all he or she wants to, all right? And then other people won't be distracted, and they'll be able to make connections with God. All right, so see you at usher. Thanks for understanding, folks. All right, I realize that some folks are like, well, in my church, we grew up, all the children that I know, and your church was amazing. We love your little one. But he's not the preacher here just yet, okay? So, anyway, so what's the Point Harbor 3B mantra? Bibles, buzzers, babies, overseen. Yes, somebody said last night, did you say babies overseas? Like, no, I'm not Trump, no. So, just a joke. Let's jump into it. We've been in our series on the book of Philippians. Pastor Johnny just finished up on chapter 1 last week, and this week we're jumping to chapter 4. You're like, why are we jumping to chapter 4? John, you'll see why in a second, all right? So Philippians 4:1, if you're there, say I'm there.
Yes.
All right, just a few verses here. He picks up, therefore, my brothers, this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. So he's encouraging them. And then he takes this little, you know, sidebar that you're like, why in the world? You'll see. So Paul says, I entreat Yodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Underline, agree in the Lord. I circled those ladies' names. First, because they're weird names. Secondly, because they got issues. They're not agreeing in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, he's writing to the pastor, help these women. I put a box around help. Now this, it means more. The English translating sometimes a little difficult, But really, literally, help in the Greek means to seize, to apprehend. It's in the imperative sense, the only imperative word in this text right here. Help these women, apprehend them, bring them together. You can even translate it, arrest them. Now, that's not putting cuffs on, but that's like, whoa, something's got to happen here. So Paul's saying, hey, man, you got a problem in your church between these two ladies. It is very public, and you need to do something about it. You need to do something about it, Pastor. These ladies, these women who have labored, underline, double underline, labored, side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, and then underline each one of these last words, whose names are in the book of life. Now, this text is perfect for Mother's Day, at least in my thinking. Why? Because this is the only passage in the whole book of Philippians, and the book of Philippians is, you know, it's only four chapters, so it's a small book, but still, it's the only passage that deals exclusively with ladies, right? The message today is this: God's designer women. God's designer women. What do you mean, John, God's designer women? When you have that word designer in anything, it speaks to its value or its worth, right? I mean, those of you like me that your wardrobe comes from Walmart, ain't no designer stuff as far as I know in Walmart, right? Basically. I mean, it's just off the rack, you know, cheapo stuff from China. But when they say it's a designer brand, that means it's more luxurious, more unique, more artistic, whether the designer is Christian Dior. Aren't you amazed I knew that? Or Neiman Marcus, I had to Google those. They have put specific thought, intention, purpose into that. It's not the cheapo assembly line, carbon copy stuff. And you, Christian lady, God's gal, you are God's designer woman. All right? Say, I'm God's designer woman. Say it. I'm God's designer woman. Woo, none of you guys should be saying that. And it makes you special and unique and complicated. Right? The text in Philippians 4 gives us an overview of the timeless Christian woman, God's designer woman. And you're like, oh, John, I'm nothing special. Some of you humble ladies. Oh, I'm just plain Jane. That's not what God says. It's not what God says. So we have 3 points. How many points?
Three
points. Christian lady, point number one. You're designed for sensitivity. You're designed for sensitivity. You ladies have a special wiring in that you're designed more than men, more than men. And I don't know if you've noticed it. Most men don't have this in their wiring. Amen, ladies?
Amen.
But you have this radar. You have this sensitivity, this heightened sensitivity. You're very cognizant of all the emotions and the unspoken expectations floating around any room. You just pick it up. And take, for instance, something as mundane as getting a haircut. Getting a haircut. Haircuts. Women's version. Woman number one.
Oh, you got a haircut. That's so cute.
Woman number two. Do you think so?
I wasn't sure when she gave me the mirror. I mean, you don't think it's too fluffy looking, do you?
And woman number one. Oh, my goodness, no. It's perfect. I'd love to get my hair cut like that, but I think my face is too wide. I'm pretty stuck with this hairdo, I think. Woman number two, are you serious, girl? I think your face is adorbs. And then you could easily get one of those layered cuts, and then that would look so cute, I think. I was actually going to do that, except I'm afraid my neck is too long. Woman number one, oh, that's so funny. I would love to have your neck. Anything to take the attention away from this 2x4 that I have for a shoulder line. Woman number two, are you kidding? I know girls who would love to have your shoulders. Everything drapes so well on you. I mean, look at my arms. See how short they are? I've got these little short T-Rex arms. If I had your shoulders, I could get clothes to fit me so much better. That's how y'all talk. Men's version. Man number one, haircut. Man number two, yeah. That's it. It's in the wiring. God's woman is designed to one degree or another. You're not all equal, but you're designed for sensitivity. And it has everything to do with nurturing. But the world will do everything it can for the most part to do its best to drive that out of you, lady. To drive that out of you, because they see it or call it weakness. insensitive, non-nurturing women have filled the news lately. I don't know if you pay attention to the news. I probably pay more attention than I should. But I saw this last week, like 2 days ago. There's a dude, he's in the news, all over the news, acting D.C. U.S. Attorney Ed Martin. And he's coming out, and they're interviewing him. Newsmax is interviewing him, got a microphone. And this just crazy woman comes up and accosts him, screaming, calling his name out, and then spits, patoo, on Martin. And then just leaves and gives him one, I almost did it, the one finger salute. Desensitized, crazy woman. The world will do its best to desensitize you, lady. You were originally wired for sensitivity, but that sensitivity can at times, because you are more sensitive than him, send you more, you got the radar more, you know, you got the feelers out more, and that's how you're wired. But you can, the hard edge of that is it can send you sometimes into an emotional tailspin, even when you're a Christ follower. And that's what's happening here to these ladies in this passage. Your special sensitive emotions can take you to places you really ought not go. Sensitivity sometimes can lead you, oversensitivity, fleshly sensitivity, self-sensitivity can lead you into sin. Well, what do you mean, John? Now you're being sexist. That's, you're starting to get me overly sensitive. Look at our text. This is what the text is all about. I entreat Yodia, all right, this lady, don't name your children that, and entreat Sintichi to do what?
Agree.
To do what? I can't hear you.
Agree.
Remember, I'm deaf. I agree in the Lord. I entreat. This word means beg. I'm begging you, ladies. I'm begging these ladies to get right. These ladies were disagreeing. They were having a public dispute. They were dissing each other to the point that Paul, in a Roman prison, 620 miles away, the distance between here and what is that town up there? Something. Yeah. Had it in my notes, but now I don't see it. Boston. Yes. Did somebody say that? You have to be louder for deaf people. Had heard of it. And they didn't, that's before Facebook and text messages. Paul had heard about it. Obviously, somebody came and told him, took the trip just to tell him, hey, man, that church down there in, you know, Philippi, they're just blowing up because these two ladies. He's like, I can't believe these two ladies, man, they serve side by side. We have no idea. You're like, what were they fighting about? We got no idea. But here are two Christian women who are at odds with each other to the point that Paul puts their name in the Bible. How would you like your name? You're like, oh, I wish my name was in the Bible, you know, like Peter, James, John. All right, but the Bible's very honest. So sometimes when your name's in the Bible, it ain't because you did something good. Sometimes you don't want your name in the Bible for everybody to read for centuries. I pastored in Michigan, a small country church up there. Whenever I'd go on vacation, it seemed like something would blow up. And so I went on vacation one time down to see my mom in Illinois. And I come back and find out two of our women been fighting. Two of our core women. One of them was my secretary. And, you know, she knew what, how, and she was just very administrative. And so they came out, there was a guest speaker. And at the end of the service, everybody comes out. And in the foyer are a whole bunch of garbage bags on the floor. And inside are clothes. And this lady, Carolyn, God love her, who wants to minister, thought people need clothes. And she had a whole bunch of extra clothes. You know, old clothes, used clothes, but still good clothes. And so she was just going to let everybody come out, you know, hey, shake the hand of the preacher, and then go get you some clothes. And Cindy was just like, oh, dear Lord, we got visitors, and it looks like a dump in our foyer. And so they went at it. Ding, 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 ding. And I came back and had to try to fix that thing. Like, dear Lord, both of them had ministry hearts. Both were sincere, but things blew up. Moral of the story, even though you're wired for sensitivity, that gives you no right to explode. And I've heard some ladies say, well, you know, I just get emotional. Sometimes I explode, but I get over it. Well, we're going to name the next hurricane after you. Because that's what hurricanes do. They just go, and then they're done. And you look and there's a wake of devastation. And that's what some of you are doing. And again, you're like, why are you just saying this to the women? Because it's Mother's Day. And this is the passage. Men too, men, you can apply any of these things to you. But the text is talking about two women who are fighting. hang on for Father's Day, okay? Just wait. We'll get them. What can I do to avoid oversensitivity? Paul provides the answer here. It might not have jumped out at you, but back to our text. He says, I entreat Iodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. I beg you, but this word agree literally in the Greek basically could be translated or extrapolated. Both of you ladies need to set your mind. That's what it means, or synchronize your mind in the Lord. Synchronize your mind with the will of God, not your will, and on Jesus. Then you'll be thinking the same thing and have unity. Around here, we don't vote on things. You're like, what? Are you a dictator? No. We have business meetings, you know, not about a lot, but church budget, those things, deacons, you know. If we bought new properties, we'd have a church business meeting, but we wouldn't vote on it. Well, we affirm. We have ballots, but we affirm. Because the difference, and the reason I changed the wording years ago to be biblical, is that it's a vote is my will, my candidate, my choice, my friend. But affirmation is nothing really to do with me. It's just what is God's will. He's the Lord of the church, amen? Not me. This is not my church, not your church. This is his church. And so we affirm, and so in the same way, when I affirm the will of Jesus for whatever's going on, and somebody else that's fighting with me, they start affirming the will of Jesus, then we become unified. And that's what Paul is saying. Sync your mind and your heart with his mind and his heart. Galatians 5:16, one of my favorite verses I quoted about every day in prayer. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the what? The Spirit of God, and you will not. Say, will not. That is a promise. John, I got an addiction. I can't break it. Okay, cool. You can't break it. I get that. But if you walk by the Spirit, then you will not do that addiction. Well, I don't believe that. Well, okay, then. You don't believe the Word of God. God says you want out of a situation that you're in that you can't control. You got a gossiping tongue. You got an addiction. You got a porn habit. You walk by the Spirit. Obviously, then you're not walking by the Spirit, because if you walk by the Spirit gives you the power for spiritual fruits, and then you will not do those things. That's God's silver bullet that some of you have nothing about. That means you won't explode, to look at our text. You won't verbally puke all over your Facebook page like some of you do. You won't text hellish thoughts or accusations via your smartphone. Write this down. As God's girl, I am designed for spiritual sensitivity. I am designed for spiritual sensitivity. Yes, you're sensitive. That's how God wired you. But you can take that sensitivity to the fleshly me side of the street. Or you can walk in the Spirit and have spiritual sensitivity. Say spiritual sensitivity. The Holy Spirit controlling you and shaping your sensitivity. So Christian lady, you're first wired for sensitivity, spiritual sensitivity. Point number two, you are also designed for ministry. For ministry. Now this is where I get in trouble with some of you, so hang on. All right, just settle in. Push yourself back in your seat. Here we go. Philippians 4:3. He says again, I ask you, true companion, help these women who have labored. Say labored. Now, this is not having babies, all right? Side by side with me in the gospel. What kind of ministry? Okay, all right, so I'm wired for sensitivity, and I'm designed also for ministry. What kind of ministry? John, there's a lot of kinds of ministry out there. You were designed for powerful ministry. Powerful ministry. John, you know, you think that ladies can't. No. You were designed for amazing, powerful, impacting ministry. His word here, labored, I ask you, that you have labored side by side with me in the gospel. It's the word in the Greek that means struggled. Not just, but struggled, implying against an opposition. These ladies were in the front line with Paul, struggling against the attacks and arrows of Satan. They had done that. They'd been awesome church members, core members. They weren't just attending church. Some of you, I love you. You come and your whole, you know, laboring for Jesus is your butt laboring for how long John goes in those seats on Sunday. That ain't much laboring. But that wasn't these ladies. They had both joined Paul in struggling to advance the gospel, standing against satanic opposition until Satan tripped him up because of their wiring. In other words, their ministry in the local church up to this point had been powerful. My life was greatly impacted by many women in this church when I came here as a 19, 20-year-old, back in a sailor in 1979. Just stumbled in those doors, only thought I'd be here one time. But then some of the ladies impacted me. Now, some of the dudes did too, you know, but some of the ladies impacted me with kindness. The pastor's wife, Jeannie Sherrill, very kind lady. Sharon Harrell, very kind lady. You know, they just come and they know no strangers. They're like, hey, how you doing? Several impacted me with the truth. One of the ladies, Carol Bentley, I think she had this thing in her radar. It's like, I think he thinks he's a Christian, but I don't think he is. And so she would ask me just little questions. What about this? When did you do that? And it actually became irritating. But God used it. Some impacted me with food. Hallelujah. Bonnie Sutton has a mean chicken casserole. If you can get it out of her. Whew. And one special lady impacted me on the lips. And I'm married to her now. But, now, she didn't kiss me the first Sunday. You were designed for powerful ministry. Say, powerful ministry. But specifically, you were designed for principled ministry. What do you mean, principled ministry? Here's where some of you get mad at me, so just hang on, all right? But say, I want to have ears to hear what God says. Amen? All right? What do you mean, principled ministry? Simply that God has established the parameters of ministry in his church. It's his church, so he gets to set the roles, and he has. And by the way, I don't know if you know this about Jesus. He is not politically correct. Not politically correct. Look back at our text. It says, these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel. So they've been in ministry, you know, which begs the question. So John, does that mean these women were pastors? Were preaching the word of God? No, it does not. It means that they were ministering side by side with Paul in different but biblical roles. Now I want you to pay attention. Look up here quick. Are you looking up? I can't see you, but are you looking? Are you looking? Okay, all right. All right. Let me just touch on this since some of you have questions about women in ministry. Some of you have come from churches where you had a woman pastor. There are churches around here that have, you know, the pastor and his wife, and they're both co-pastors. We had a lady here who was on staff who I pray for every Sunday. And when she was here, Pastor Dan said, I think she wants to be a pastor. I said, you think so? And she couldn't hear, and this is the reason they left, but now she's at another church in the area, and they made her a pastor. And I prayed for her this morning. So, I'm not hating on anybody. I just have to be true to the word of God, amen? Amen. Not enough of you said that. I have to be true to the word of God, and so do you, amen?
Amen.
There you go. So, but you look through your Bible, all right, to set the table. You look through your Bible, God has utilized his ladies in all sorts of different roles. I mean, all sorts of different roles. Mentors, you think Priscilla in the book of Acts. Teachers of other ladies, 1 Timothy talks about. Helpers, think Rebecca. And we could throw a whole lot of different names from the Old Testament and the New Testament in there. If you're going to have a potluck or you needed something administrated, you would go to Martha, think the Gospels. I mean, she would just administrate that thing and take care of it. If you needed somebody killed, think JL. She will drive a tent peg through their head while they're sleeping. She did in the Old Testament. She's like my two daughters' favorite woman in the Bible, which should be scary for their husbands. JL, she's awesome. Judges. Need someone to judge a nation, think Deborah. You need somebody to save the whole nation and be an ambassador to a perverted king, think Esther. You need somebody to birth the Savior of the world, think Mary. Right. So women have huge, huge impact throughout the Word of God, huge different roles that they played and fulfilled faithfully. There's a ton of them, but to your question as of women pastors specifically, that role specifically, God doesn't leave us, you know, wondering. He has specifics on the design of the church. Now, this is Mother's Day, but he starts out with the men. Ladies, say hallelujah. In every place of worship, every what? Place of worship. So this is talking about here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, see all the people. Talking about the church, right? This is not talking about your job, just to let you know where we're going with this, all right? But in every place of worship, I want men who? Men to pray with what? Holy hands lifted up. Some of you dudes, I love you, you're weenies. You are weenies. I'll beat you up. Well, you probably could. You're still a weenie. All right? Because you don't praise God as God wants you to, as he's wired you to. Now, some of you, right? I mean, if you won lotto, you'd be like, well, praise God. But not most of y'all, right? Some of you, you know, I see you with your favorite football team and they make it to the playoffs and they throw a Hail Mary pass in the last second. And the guy's like, and he gets it. And you just don't go, that was beautiful. Right? What do you do? Ah, woo, you're throwing some bread over a game that means absolutely nothing. You come in here, and the one who has saved you, who's gone to the cross, died, shed his blood for your sins, and you're here to worship him, he's keeping you out of hell, and you go, amen. Something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. Well, I don't know, it's just not manly. I'll put you up against David. King David, I put you up against him anytime. King David killed men with his hands. And then one time when they brought the Ark of the Tabernacle back, he's coming to the temple. The Bible says King David danced. He danced in public. Woo-hoo! Woo! Woo! You like that white boy dancing? But not only did he dance, his clothing was too constrictive. So he started woofing off his clothing. Oh, I ain't gonna do it. Notice I started at the place of most pressure. He danced, and his wife, she's, you know, hoity-toity, she's looking out of the palace going, oh my goodness, oh, that idiot shepherd boy I married. She scorned him, and then what did God do? He judged her. And David said, hey, Are you embarrassed? I could be a lot more undignified than this. It's not about men, but I just figured I'd shoot at you. Pray. Many of you guys are weenie prayers. You're not warrior prayers. Pray. We're up in the ante in prayer around here. Amen. Say pray. With holy hands lifted up to God. Free from anger and controversy. All right, that's the men's. Amen. All right, now the women's. Women, say women. Help you, Jesus. We have seatbelts you can strap on. Should learn quietly. Again, this is in what context? And submissively. I do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Again, this is in what context? Let them listen quietly. Why? Paul's a sexist. All right, let me clue you. If Paul's a sexist, all right, and that's... and he's got wrong thinking, then that's sinful thinking, and this is not inspired, and you're going to hell. Because Paul is also the one, Romans, told us how to get to heaven. Maybe he was wrong there too. Either it's all inspired or none of it's inspired, folks. Now, we can take it wrongly, sure. But I'm going to show you something here that ought to just answer it forever. So, they're not, women aren't supposed to teach men in the church or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly. Why? For, here's the reason, God made Adam first. It's in the creation order. And then also Eve screwed up. It was not Adam who was deceived. The woman was deceived. And sin was the result. But this is the biggest one here. God made Adam first. It's in the creation design before Satan tempted Eve, before anything was around. God said, here's the roles I want. Here's how I want this thing wired. I made Adam first, and that's why I want a man to pastor. I don't want a woman to pastor. A woman can be a judge. A woman can be an administrator. A woman can be all these things, an assassin. But a woman can't be a pastor unless you can go back and change the creation order. That's God's words, not John's. It would be easier for me if that wasn't there. I think our church would be bigger if we just said, oh, yeah. You know, there's no problem there. And then, you know, more people that are now culturally, politically correct are like, oh, yeah. But no, this is what God says. It's not that, are you saying that women are of less value? No, I'm not saying that. Later on, he goes to show the comparison of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this question. Is Jesus just as valuable and important as the Father? Yes or no? Yes, he is. And the Holy Spirit's just as valuable and as important as Jesus. Yes. But they voluntarily, we're going to see it in Philippians in a few weeks, Jesus voluntarily places himself under the Father. He says, I came to do my Father's will. He places him, even though he's just as valuable, he says, I have a different role in the Trinity. Amen. Same for marriage, same for church. Doesn't work in your place of employment, all right? Doesn't even work in government, but this is where it works. God has a reason. What's all his reasons are his reasons. His ways are higher than my ways, this creation order. Now, if you're going to get mad at Pastor John, I'll just refer you to the author. Don't shoot the messenger. All right? So, I don't have time to adequately cover this. I know some of you have just steamed your clams. And you're like, I don't know about this church. Fine, 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 fine. All right. I get some of you. You've been in churches that, you know, at least here, don't preach the word of God. And so you're seeing the clear word of God. If you can get around that, I've had people try. Well, it was just because there was sin and all, but now Colossians says that we're all one. There's neither male nor female. You know, I've got that whole argument. Yeah. He was talking about we're all of equal value, but he talks about the different roles, and it comes back to how God designed it before everything went to hell. And that doesn't change. So if you want further to look deeper, I preached this like 2 months ago. Go to Point Harbor Church, go to the watch page. This one right here, how Satan photobombed my marriage selfie, is I was able to lay it out a lot better, all right? So, say website. All right, and also if you want even deeper people on it, CBMW.org, Council for Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. Oh, yeah, it's just a bunch of guys. Actually, they have women writers, too, that understand the scriptures. My mama was an elder in her church years ago. They made her an elder. My mom's a very godly woman until she kind of wrestled with this passage, because elder really equates to pastor. She wrestled with this passage. She said, I had to resign because of that. So, now, John, I can't believe you're preaching this on Mother's Day. I mean, I would think that you'd have some nice, wonderful message for the ladies. And it is. It is wonderful for the ladies, amen? So I'm sure you're offending some of the ladies here. Listen, we're in the book of Philippians. This is the only lady-specific text in the whole book. And so if I avoid the obvious questions that arise from this text or try to water it, you know, God's clear statement on roles down, I am a wimp. And I've been preaching for over 30 years. I've never edited God on purpose. And I ain't going to start on Mother's Day, amen? Amen? So where are you going with all this, John? All right, here. Ladies, you are so important here at Point Harbor. You are so important. Honestly, if you staged a walkout, we'd have to lock the doors. We really would. We don't have women pastors because we believe God's clear word on that and believe he, as designer, gets to say what's best for his church. But you were designed for principled ministry. There's a ministry in here that you ought to find and grab a hold of. If he sent you to this church, he sent you here not to sit on your butts. And a lot of you dudes, too. So what do? Hit up the QR code in the seat backs in front of you with your devices. All right, make sure your device is on silent. Hit up the QR code, and it will take you to, hey, I'm interested in serving. Boom, and we'll contact you or send you some information. All right, say QR code. All right. Also, you were not just designed for principled ministry. You were designed for planned ministry. Here's where I get in trouble with more of you. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's masterpiece. I love this. That Greek word is poema, from which we get the word poem or poetry. You're God's poetry. Oh, I'm a mess. No, you're God's. He created you in the womb. He, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're God's masterpiece. Say masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus, that salvation, so that we can do the good things he, what's that word? Planned for us long ago, before creation, before the foundation of the world. He had planned for you, if this is your church, to be here at Point Harbor, and he's planned certain specific things for you to do, certain areas of ministry. When I walked into this church, what? 40-some years ago, if you'd have told me, John, one day God has planned that one day you're going to be lead pastor of this church, I'd have thought you were smoking the wacky tobacco. Seriously, I'm like, that's hilarious. I'm never coming back here again after this Sunday. And then that girl kissed me on the lips. God, God has ministries all ready and waiting for you to complete, dudes and ladies. But ladies, we're talking to you today. But ladies, full stop. If you have kids, your main ministry is not inside these church walls, but inside the walls of your home. Right. Your main ministry, your number one ministry. Well, John, what's that all about? Titus 2. Older women, who?
Older.
Older women. You talk about one of our older ladies got excited. Older women, all right, and talk about amazing major ministry, powerful impact, must, see in the imperative, train the who? The younger women to do what? To love their husbands, because some of their husbands are unlovable, and their children, because sometimes your children are hellions, to live wisely and be pure and to work in their homes, to do good, to be submissive to those scallywags, and then do that, they will not bring shame on the word of God. Some of you, I love you. I'm not thinking of anybody, but I know in a crowd this size, some of you you're a Christian, you're bringing shame. Just like these two fighting ladies, you're bringing shame on the word of God. Because one of these things you don't know how to do. Maybe because you've never been trained to do it. And it doesn't call the pastors, interestingly, to train this, because I have a tough time trying to train you, you know, in some of these areas. And so this is a ministry that's best done, maybe only done really, by older women. Well, John, what's it? I'm not even going to talk about age. I'm not going there. If you're older woman, you know who you are. All right? But talk about powerful ministry. But that thing, we don't want to bring shame on the word of God. But it says, and here's the thing that some of you are going to not like, to work in their homes. What does that mean? Does that mean I have to stay in the home? It doesn't say stay in the home. It says to do what? To work in their home. Now, this is, Greek word is amazing here. Oikourgos. It means guarding. Guarding in the home. Managing the home. Industrious. Not sitting on the couch watching, you know, Netflix all the time, eating bonbons in your home. But also, I love this, diligently caring for the household as if a trade or vocation. In other words, that is your job. That is your job. That's your number one job. And this is so politically incorrect today, outside of what people understand that, oh yeah, no. Because ladies, this doesn't say you can't work outside the home. All right, what it does say is that the home, if you have children especially, but also if you're married, but if you have children especially, it does say the home is your number one priority ministry. Responsibility. And hear me, lady, you are going to lock eyes with Jesus someday and answer for how you prioritize those things. Right. You are. And I don't want you coming up to me in heaven and going, Pastor John, Jesus just read me to riot at because I, you know, was a professional gal and I let my kids run wild and, you know, and all that stuff and I didn't take care of my family and Jesus told me I screwed up but I still got heaven and you never told me, John. Well, I'm telling you today. All right? So I don't want that conversation in heaven, but he will lock eyes with you as to how you're doing. Doesn't mean you can't work outside the home. You can work outside if your job, number two priority, is happening okay while your family remains your number one priority and you are handling it and balancing it. I'm not talking about perfectly. But if you cannot, then you need to figure out what changes you need to make to be obedient to God's specific calling on your life. Well, John, we need the money. We like a bigger house. A bigger house is not as important as kids not in prison. And those of you that got kids in prison, I know, and I'm not saying it was your fault because they make their own decisions, but sometimes it is our fault. The Bible says we're to train up a child in the way of the Lord, and you know, the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. That's a proverb, not a promise, but it is a principle that we ought to train up our children. And if you're not there to train them up, or you aren't there when you're there, because you're so stinking exhausted. Some of you ladies are exhausted. You come to me and go, John, what do I do? Quit. Not marriage. But that job. Well, I get, then we have to move to a smaller house. It would probably be worth it. Huh? But I ain't your Jesus. Amen? But that, you can't go past that word from God. And if it's not your number one priority, you need to reevaluate and repent. So listen. Our culture is all about bastardizing and corrupting God's main ministry priority for mamas. You get out of that house and away from those kids. You hire somebody else to raise them. You got enough money to do that. You do you. Well, John, you're being sexist and patriarchal. No, I'm being biblical. Some of you have never heard it before. But it's the word of God, and there's a reason for it. He's not trying to keep you from advancement. He's trying to bless your life and your family and your kids. That's what he's trying to do. Well, I'll never come back here again. Well, you got to hear the truth once. What you do with it is up to you, seriously. But if you're really God's girl, you'll have, I believe, spiritual ears to hear and a spirit-synced heart to obey, even if you might have to wrestle with it for a while. And remember, one day, lady, you're going to lock eyes with Jesus. He's going to ask how you ministered to your number one ministry priority. And ladies in here, I'm not thinking of anybody. Some of you are blowing it. You're blowing it. I'm using Mother's Day to tell you you're blowing it. Why don't we quit parroting Satan in the world on the mother's number one priority? It's your number one ministry, mama. You're number one. Say number one. And the thing of being a homemaker, all right? And I didn't know about the title, homemaker, all right? And people look down on that. What do you do? You're at a party, work party. What do you do? And you come along, and my daughters, they both worked in jobs, and they've both been homemakers. And my daughter Melissa says, you know, there, and here they come. You know, these chicks in the business world or whatever, what do you do? And she says, right away, when I tell them, I know what's going to happen. They're going to find somebody more interesting, somebody they can leverage. It's a lot harder, though, than any dude can understand. If you're a mama and you're at home and you've got children, amen? Harder than a single lady or a lady without children can understand, amen? Mamas? One day, a guy I heard about comes home from work to find total mayhem. Total mayhem at home. The kids are outside. They're in their pajamas. They're playing in mud. They're empty food boxes and wrappers all around. So he walks in the house. He goes, what's going on? He finds an even bigger mess. Dishes on the counter. Dog food all over the kitchen. Broken glass under the table. Small pile of sand by the back door. He's like, what's going on? Family room is strewn with toys. Various items of clothing. A lamp's been knocked over. He's like, oh, man, my wife, something's wrong. Where's she at? Honey. He can't. So he runs up to the bedroom. He's worried. He finds her. He opens the bedroom door. And there she is, still in bed with her pajamas on, reading a book. She looks at him and she smiles and says, how'd your day go, babe? And he's totally bewildered. He said, what happened here today? What in the world happened? This place is a train wreck. And she smiles again and she says, you know, every day when you come home from work and you ask me what I did today, he said, well, yeah. She said, well, today I didn't do it. Christian lady, you were made for sensitivity. You were designed for ministry. But number three, and most important, you were designed for eternity. And he lays it out in this, I love this text. He lays it out. I ask you, true companion, help these women who've labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose name, he's talking about these women, whose names are in the what? Book of life. When you look about it, John, what's the book of life? I thought that was just some, you know, pie in the sky little phrase. No. There is an actual book of life. And lady, you and guy too, you were designed for eternity. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. He's made you, wired you, male, female, that you are going to live eternally somewhere. You're designed for eternity. You just don't go to the grave and rot. And our text closes with this, when he's talking about these ladies whose names are in the Book of Life. Book of Life is only, in the ESV version, only two places in the whole Word of God, the Book of Life, here and the Book of Revelation. And the Book of Revelation, you're like, well, and you might say, well, what if my name isn't in the Book of Life? Is that a big deal? Let's go to Revelation and find out. This is the end times. This is the end judgment. And he says, John the Revelator, I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of what? Life. And the dead were judged according to what they'd done, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up its dead. The death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. And then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, eternal death. And then he says this, he gets specific, anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. That's heavy. That's the book of life that he's talking about, that these two fighting ladies, he says, hey, you're Christians. Your name's recorded in the book of life. You're designed for eternity. But there are two eternal destinations. Eternal destination number one, heaven. People say, well, I'm designed for eternity. I'm going to heaven. You know, I'm American. I'm going, no. I call myself a Christian. No. I come to this church. No. No. Eternal destination number two, hell, or what he calls the lake of fire in Revelation. You're designed for eternity. But some of you here, both ladies and men, you're currently headed to the wrong eternity. You're headed to the wrong eternity, like me when I came to this church. Sincere, baptized, church kid, headed to eternal hell, the lake of fire, at that time. It's eternity you will regret for an eternity. So if you're headed to the wrong eternal destination, God wants to change that. That's why he came and died on the cross, to change your eternity. Because you're going to eternity. But only because of the shed blood of Christ can I get into God's eternity. Only when I say, Lord, I'm a sinful, sinful man, and I can't do anything to please you, and I've got no righteousness of my own, but I see that Jesus, you died on the cross, and you died not for yourself and your sins, but my sins and the sins of the world. And then you went to that grave for 3 days, and then you were resurrected out of that grave, and you purchased my eternal salvation, my eternity. If I will say, yes, I want that gift of eternal life and receive it by faith. That's what I had never, I believed all that stuff, but I'd never received it by faith. Never just said, I want that now. Some of you have never done that. So right now I'm going to give you the opportunity on Mother's Day 2025 to change your, you're not changing it, you're just receiving the gift that changes it from the one who purchased it, your eternity. Let's pray. God, I pray that you'll do your work, your amazing, amazing work. Lord, draw folks here, ladies, men, boys, girls. And Lord, help us to just mean it. Just come to you and receive what you've done. Not come to you with our good works, because they do not impress you at all. But with our brokenness, our woundedness, our sinfulness, admitting that, coming to you. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking around. Right now, right where you're at, does your eternity need changed? You're headed to eternity one way or the other. Does it need change? Are you going to the wrong one? Jesus died to change your eternity, but you have to receive it. You have to say yes to eternal life with Jesus in heaven. So if that's you, just say something like, from the quietness of your heart right now to where you're at, the quietness of his heart, just say this. And these aren't magic words. Don't pray them if you don't mean them. But just say something like this. If you want your eternity changed by Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, I believe you can change my eternity. Tell him that. I believe you can change my eternity. And I know I'm a sinner. Admit that. I know I'm a sinner. But I know you're the Savior. I believe you died for me. You went to the grave for me. You paid my sin debt. You rose victorious over the grave and purchased salvation. And you're holding it out to me, telling that. And right now I'm saying yes, yes to that. Yes to eternal life. Yes to sins forgiven. Yes to Jesus as my Savior. I'm receiving you, Jesus. Tell him that as my Lord and Savior right now, right here. And I mean it. I mean it, Jesus. Now, with your head still bowed, your eyes still closed, if you meant that, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, don't be, you know, a weenie about your worship. If you trusted Jesus, then you ought to say so. And we're not asking you to come up on the, and I don't do this often, we're not asking you to come up on the stage or anything, but on Easter, in the Easter services, I did it. We had 164 people that raised their hands saying they prayed that prayer and they were trusting Jesus. So why don't you be, well, we had three more last night, so why don't you be 168 169, he said, I prayed that prayer and I meant it, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not going to point you out, but I want to pray for you. So just raise your hand up and hold it there for a second. All of you in the auditorium right now, if you prayed that prayer, you meant that prayer, hold your hand up. Hold them up, hold them up, hold them up. Hold, yes, yes. Who else? Hold them up. Hold them up. Yes, yes. All right, keep them up. Let me pray for you. God, I pray for these that prayed and they meant it. Lord, I trust that they meant it. And I pray that, Lord, they will really just get a hold of that fact that you have, because they accepted you, you've changed their eternity. And Lord, now let them live as people headed to your eternity, glorifying you. In Jesus' precious name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.